Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Despite what you see outside, there is a sure sign today that spring is on the way, albeit it's a sign down in Florida. The Red Sox hold their first full squad practice today at their spring training home in Fort Myers. Sox are looking to rebound from their post-World Series victory slump into last place last season. With us from Fort Myers this morning to talk about the early expectations for this year's Red Sox and some of the new faces in camp is longtime Sox watcher, Boston Globe sports columnist Dan Shaughnessy. Good morning, Dan, and thanks for speaking to us from Fort Myers.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
You know, so before anyone has played a single inning yet this spring, how much optimism is there around the Red Sox this year?
Well, there's optimism everywhere, Bob. This is the best time of year. Everybody's undefeated. That said, I think that the Red Sox carry more optimism than usual. They made a lot of upgrades with their lineup, and they are in the honeymoon phase of spring training right now.
Well, let's talk about some of the people they've added. Hitters to this year's lineup, Pablo Sandoval, Hanley Ramirez. How significant were those signings?
These are professional hitters who are proven hitters and, you know, veteran guys. Sandoval's won 3 World Series and comes up big in the clutch all the time. Hanley Ramirez is one of the really great hitters in the National League over the last decade. So it's established that they're bringing in veteran guys here who know how to handle themselves at the plate. It gives a lot of protection for David Ortiz in the middle of that lineup.
So big picture then in terms of action behind the plate, have the Sox added enough to take care of their slugging problems from last year?
Well, I think that's a good question. I mean, the Red Sox always hit. Last year they didn't. But I think right now, Dustin Pedroia is back healthy. He's in the 2 spot. Then you have David Ortiz, Ramirez, Sandoval, Mike Napoli. That's a really good 2-6. It allows them to drop Xander Bogaerts further down the lineup, takes pressure off of him, and they can carry a light-hitting catcher in the 9 spot. So I don't think scoring runs is going to be a problem for them this year.
All right. What about the other side, pitching? Many, many questions about the starting rotation.
That's a very good question, and I think it's legit. I think that they've got kind of a mindset of smarter than everybody else, and they're going to go at this without an ace pitcher with 5 what you call number 3 starters instead of a number 1 guy and then a bunch of other guys. So I think their analytics demonstrate that's the way to go. They're not going to overpay for pitching. They've overpaid everywhere else. They're convinced they have enough hitting and that the division is soft enough that they can contend with this rotation.
And what's your view on that? You know, that's the Red Sox analytics, as you pointed out. Do you think that works in today's Major League Baseball with a lot of hitters on the other side of the plate?
It's a good point. I mean, Baltimore last year won 95 games without any kind of a star ace pitcher, and this is when you see John Lester signing for, you know, basically $250 million over the term of his contract, and the Sox want to get away from that from guys in their 30s. So it hasn't worked out for everybody. They do break down, and Boston is convinced that if they need to do something in the middle of the season, they can go make that move before the trading deadline, but they're content to go as is right now.
All right, one last question about players. Is the 19-year-old they signed out of Cuba worth $60-plus million?
No one knows with these guys. I mean, one of the worth of bringing in a player that you don't develop, it doesn't cost you a draft pick. You're not paying bonus money, and he's developed elsewhere. So the Cubans come, you know, more formed. But this kid's 19. It's unusual. They feel that they can make him what they need to make him. It's a bag of money. There's no question about it. It's a gamble. And if you're a Red Sox fan, it's a good demonstration that your team is willing to go out there and outbid the Yankees, and I think that should make fans feel good.
I should point out that his name is Yoan Moncada. How soon do you think we see him?
Oh, I think it's a couple of years away. They will not rush him. They don't want you to see him right now. Basically, he's behind the curtain, and it'll be a slow process, a lot of assimilation into the culture and into the culture of professional baseball in America.
So you're in sunny Fort Myers. We're in very snow white and cold Boston. Give us a taste. Tell us something that'll make us feel that spring is eventually coming here.
I will tell you, you know, when you hear pitchers and catchers report, you know, baseball is back, it does give hope. There is something to this romanticism of, you know, the metaphor of life, and I think that it's been such a brutal winter back there. we notice people are reading the stories more than ever. They want to see the pictures. They want to see the video. They want to hear from the players. It makes everybody feel good to see them in the sunshine because it tells you that this will end back home in New England, and it will be, there will be baseball again.
Well, straight out, I don't want to see you if you come back with a tan.
I'm Irish. I just get red and then peel.
Boston Globe sports columnist Dan Shaughnessy, thanks a lot for speaking to us, and enjoy Florida.
Thank you, Bob.